Good afternoon. Welcome to the Joyous Journey with me, your host, DJ 2Js. And we also have a special guest with us today as well. He's always here, and we love him for it. We have Mr. Patrick Underwood, the personal financial manager of NSA Bahrain, for this lovely afternoon segment of Money Matters. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Ready to go. Had a fantastic AOB today, welcoming in all the new personnel. And so ready for this time where we can hang out and get some education going on with some finances.
Hoo-yah. We also have that question of the day today. It's a weird one.
It is.
Definitely what is weird. Your spirit animal?
Yeah, I was totally I want to say like knocked out. Like I'm gonna go with the Hawaiian monk seal because I know you don't know what that is. And it's almost like a walrus. Like it's a big seal. It's not like a sissy seal, but endangered species, super chill, just likes to hang out on the beach. I want to say dragon. Yeah, I want to say that, but I mean, the fact of the matter is I'd rather be on the beach chilling. So I'm going to go with Hawaiian monk seal.
Yeah. I did what is your spirit animal quiz, like a little test on the internet.
Oh my gosh.
So I did like four different ones because I was not happy with
the right. I was going to say you didn't like the first response.
Yeah. The first one was butterfly.
Okay. I was thinking more. I thought you'd get something like alley cat. You're like, I don't like cats, but yeah, butterfly. Maybe that's your inside. You don't even know that.
Yeah. First one's butterfly. Second one I got was crow.
Okay.
And then a deer.
Oh.
And then the one I stuck with that I'm happy with is hyena.
I mean, those are like four totally unrelated animals. Yeah. They're not even close.
The closest thing I could say about the hyena was that my laugh, like in the wild, the hyena's laugh is a known thing. And I could say my laugh's pretty well done between my friends. But nonetheless, what are we going to be talking about today during Money Matters?
Well, I figure that we will talk about some stuff that I would say like kind of is can sneak up on us. So when we're talking about our credit score, credit report and stuff like that is very distinctly American. We'll talk about, you know, there aren't too many countries that actually do that. And so when you live in a place like Bahrain, then sometimes that stuff can get out of hand. And so we'll just look at some of the things, how that can affect us and then what that means, you know, for how that can affect our career and then where we're going to end up in the future.
Looking forward to it.
A lot like real life, only louder. AFM The Eagle, serving America's best.
We're here with Mr. Patrick Underwood, the personal financial manager of NSA Bahrain. Get ready to talk about some credit cards.
Yeah.
You know, managing that credit score.
Definitely.
What are some great ways to start with that?
Yeah, I think I just had somebody come in and was asking about it. And I thought, since we talk about how this affects us kind of in the big picture, a lot of times we don't think about what that means just to go get a credit card or how we start that journey, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
That a lot of people, it's just like either boot camp or college or something, and then they're just like, oh, I got a credit card, and they don't really pay any mind to it. Especially now, there's so many different kind of levels of how you can get credit cards, because some credit cards are focused on basically your new establishing credit. If you've, you know, got good solid credit, how you can get approved and all of that kind of great stuff. But it's more the fact that people don't understand how that journey can affect them, especially, like I said, in the United States, that we put a big weight on what our credit score is if we're going to get into certain kinds of basically relationships. And so you don't really look at that like with your landlord and your apartment as a relationship, but it is. And you've got to establish like what makes you better. I don't want to say it's like credit's like a... it shows everybody else how viable you are in taking care of money. And like I said, most countries in the world don't deal with it. They don't have a credit score program like the United States does. So if you're out traveling, like other places don't have that same kind of mentality. It really is kind of like a handful of countries. But one of the biggest things that weighs on it is what's your DTI or your debt to income ratio. And basically, how much debt do you have, which we've talked about this in the past. In the United States, like for consumer debt, the average is about $6,500. So knowing that a lot of people have that sitting as their debt, then they have to balance that out with what their income is. So if they don't have enough income to have that ratio, you know, be low enough, then for active duty guys, they miss out on some overseas assignments because they want to make sure that financially you're stable. Or if you get an extension, like staying out here, if you decide that you're going to live that baller lifestyle or something and kind of let it get out of control, then you won't be able to extend. And so they've got to make sure just what that means. And again, if you're not worried about credit, then you don't think about those things and process it. And so I think that as we go today, we'll look at kind of a few areas about how that can, like, where we may not realize we'd be affected.
Yeah. What's a good age to start building that credit or get a credit card?
So one of the things that, if you've ever seen the movie Catch Me If You Can.
Yes.
So that guy who Leonardo DiCaprio plays, like, it, if you watch that movie, like, in for real life, then he goes, his name's Frank Abagnale, and he goes on to work for the government. And he's one of the guys, when you talk about security, he's got a cool clip that you can watch. You don't have to believe everything or adhere to it, but the mentality of what he's trying to communicate answers that exact same question, that he had kids, and he just said, in the world that we live in the United States, this is a system. Remember, I told you the rest of the world, for the most part, doesn't adhere to it.
Yeah.
But if you do in the United States, it's the system that you live in. So the better off you can be before you actually have to get into it, that's how you can start. So he actually started his kids when they were in middle and high school and got them basically that co-signed on credit card started that credit card journey, because it takes about 7 years to establish it.
Yeah.
So if you're starting that, you know, with your kid at, you know, 10, 11 years old, then by the time they get into college, there's a really good chance they will have a exceptional credit score, which most people, when you start off, they're going to have a credit score that's going to be, you know, somewhere in the high sixes and maybe low sevens, until they make one goofy move, and then that can drop easily 100 points. Whereas then you can kind of protect your kids. And so it's arbitrary in a sense of where you could start that journey. You're going to have to start it wherever you need to. So it's never too late in that sense. But it takes about 7 years to build a good, solid credit report for somebody.
If you want an oldie, go visit your grandma. AFM The Eagle, serving America's best.
We're here with Mr. Patrick Underwood, the personal financial manager of NSA Bahrain. Getting ready to talk about credit scores, building it up, when you should start building that credit as well. I mean, even co-signing as a parent with your child is a big, big influence in about a couple years for them. And one of the questions I had, though, where are good credit cards available? Like, how should we diversify that?
Yeah, definitely. I think that that's one of the things that when people, when we sit down and talk about that, like your CFS will go over things like that, just kind of like what your options are, but the fact of like what it means to you. So one of the things that, especially if you're living over here, then you're going to want to make sure that you're looking for a credit card that doesn't have international transaction fees. There are plenty of credit cards at some very friendly, familiar institutions that do. And so when you go in there, you can get approved a little bit easier because you already have an account established there. But you don't realize that every time you're out shopping, doing anything in town, that you're going to have to pay a fee for that. And so you got to be aware with where and when you're going to use it. So it's the same way that there's some other cards that have like yearly fees, and some of them are pretty high. And for active duty personnel, they're waived, so you won't have to pay them. Yeah. So you, as you're shopping for it, you're like, oh, that's great. It's fantastic. It's wonderful. And then as soon as you move into the civilian world, then that $400 a year or whatever it's going to be for some of those top tier cards, then you're going to have to pay for it.
Yeah.
And then people start thinking about that then instead of thinking about it now. And so that's what we talk about, like with some of your very first cards, what I like to call your anchor card. So as that starts to anchor in your credit journey, you've got to seriously understand how it works and what it offers you, because that's one that you should probably never consider closing, at least for about the next 15 or 20 years, just simply because that will establish your credit journey.
Yeah.
And you'll start to understand kind of how everybody sees you. And remember how we talked about the relationship?
Yep.
They're just making sure that you've got a good, solid relationship. So you may not qualify for some of those top tier cards right now, which is fine. Because one way that you can kind of understand how that works is that when it comes time to pay that fee is you just downgrade your card. So you may be able to have a card that will work for you at certain seasons of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So some people say like an Amex Platinum is really good if you travel, but an Amex Gold is a better like daily driver. So if you're going to get groceries and stuff for just everyday use. And that's just a comparison that people have to do on their own with whatever their kind of credit style is. So that's that question you ask is a really good question. And it comes down to you as the person who's going to apply of what you're willing to commit to, because again, it's a relationship.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh man, I want points. I'm going to get all this kind of stuff, like, which is great as long as you understand how that works. And so you had a fantastic guest on a couple of months ago. Man, I tell you what, Petty Officer Wu, he and credit cards, he's got a really good understanding relationship of how that works.
He is a knower.
Yeah, that's one of those things that when you do the research on, that's what's going to pay off. But a lot of people are just like, what's the hot take from whoever's at work? And man, my chief did this. You got to remember, like, if you're honestly, if you've been in for a couple of years, your chief's been in for like 10 more than you.
Yeah.
That credit journey for your chief is way further down the road. And so their perspective is going to be different than what yours will be. And so when you're shopping for a credit card, you kind of do that at different stages, if that makes sense. So I have one that I've kept for a long time. I don't use it that often. And then when you're talking about credit cards too, like we don't use Discover here. Discover is not even big in Europe as a whole.
Oh, wow.
But it is in the United States. And so understanding that you got a Discover card and you think that if that's like your daily driver in the U.S., if you're going to go traveling in a lot of the world, they have no idea what that is. They don't use it. So the understanding of, again, where and how you're going to use it is a big deal. And so honestly, it takes patience to make that kind of a decision. But in the big picture, that's what you want to do is you want to put the work in to make sure that you got the right kind of credit relationship.
AFN The Eagle. Who the heck did you think you were listening to? Serving America's best.
We are back with Mr. Patrick Underwood, the personal financial manager of NSA Bahrain, talking about credit, how to diversify, what's a great time to start diversifying. And that is the next question. What is a good time for me to buy that to apply for that second credit card?
Yeah, there's obviously, like we had talked about, right, there's going to be windows of what's going to be better for you in different places. And the great thing about it is that if your credit is what I would call like a cusp score, so like you want to have a higher score, but you're going to buy something that is, as soon as you apply for credit, whether that is to buy a vehicle or a house or a credit card, then that's going to actually put that's like a deep credit check, and they're going to put a little bit of a hit. It's not a big hit, but if the hit comes down and moves you into the next lower bracket, that means you could take that. And then when they start running that credit for, say, an automobile, your credit rate that they're going to give you won't be as good. So you want to make sure that when you're applying for that you do it at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you're building your credit, then that's the kind of thing is that you want to say like, well, what is the reason that I'm going to go and apply for that? And then at the same time, if you're in some kind of a transition, then you've got to be careful of when and how you're going to use that money too. So a couple of things that we talk about either coming here or leaving Bahrain is the fact of like, where does that credit apply in other places? So credit cards are one thing, but if people are going to look at your credit relationships, then they're going to apply them to other areas. So maybe like the apartment that you want to go and rent.
Yeah.
Now, if there's like 12 guys like you and they all are chasing that same apartment, then if it's my apartment, I want to know that you can pay the rent. Let's be honest.
Definitely.
That you got a good track record. And so knowing that you're competing with other people, you want to make sure that your credit score is good as it can be. And of course, that can be with diversity and, of course, time. Time's going to be the biggest thing. But knowing that, too, if you're going to go and either look for a promotion or if you are transitioning out and you're going to get a job, let's be honest, your employer, if you can't take care of your money, why is an employer going to want to let you take care of theirs? It sounds like super simple, but it's the truth. And sometimes we just go, oh, yeah, but I'd be more responsible with other people's stuff. It's like, how are people supposed to just believe you for that? Mm-hmm. So that's why they look at your credit score and your credit report to see, OK, yeah, you know, whatever your next position is, you're looking at getting promoted. And they say, oh, yeah, you know, this is what you're going to be in charge of. And they're like, ah, no, he's not. Like, we just don't trust him. Not going to happen. And so, yeah, you know, those are the kinds of things that can affect your, you know, the kinds of credit cards that you can get, the kinds of auto loans that you can get, what the rates may be if you're going to buy your first house. Mm-hmm. Again, whether or not you'd want to approve somebody, you know, as a tenant in your property, how you'd employ them, even your insurance.
Yeah.
You know, how your insurance is, you know, are you responsible with taking care of things like that? Yeah, they want to know that they're going to get paid too. And so the premiums that you pay would be different on it. And so, yeah, it's a really unique situation. Like I said, for us as Americans, it kind of hits us a little bit different. A lot of places in the world, you kind of start a relationship with an institution or a bank, mm-hmm. and you kind of stick with them. And in America, we kind of shop around a little bit more. And that movement also brings in, you know, some other things that we're going to talk about in looking at, like, not just our credit report, but then on top of that, you know, who we are and having, like, identity theft and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you're talking about tenants and like looking up their credit history and that kind of stuff,
yeah,
it just brought me to this one story. I used to work at Home Depot,
mm-hmm.
where I didn't work in the stores. I would just go and drive around in my truck, and I would measure out flooring for like our flooring people to come in and install.
Yeah,
so it was it was my own schedule. I did it when I was up and ready. I usually start around like 8, be finished by like 2.
Yeah.
2 is pretty late for me, honestly, like 12-ish. It's a quick job.
Yeah, yeah.
But it got paid pretty good. It was a fun job. But I remember this one house I was measuring at, he was renting this house out to tenants, and he didn't live in the state. And when he came back and he had to kick them out, it was awful.
Yeah.
I mean, broken windows, and they just lived like that. The carpets were nasty. And it sucks because it's like not his fault, but at the same time, he's going to pay the damages for that.
Exactly.
And there's really not much that he can do legally to get that money out of them. And if there was, a lot of people like that will just continue it on and like try to postpone it as long as possible.
Yeah, he would just be standing in line most of the time. Like he's not going to be the first guy. They probably owe a lot of other people money. And yeah, that's like a chance you take. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you're the property owner, you have no idea what's going to happen in situations like that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, hopefully he's got like renter's insurance or something like that that's going to be able to help him cover. But knowing that, those are the things that will be affected by your credit journey.
Yeah.
And those people that didn't have a great track record, they honestly probably don't care that much. And they're also not going out getting great rates for a home either. They're just trying to rent somewhere, right? Make it happen.
Yeah.
Which now is the majority of Americans. So we have more people renting now than what we do owning. And so knowing that, what's that going to mean if we're going to move kind of from place to place?
Heard on more radios than any other appliance. AFN The Eagle. Serving America's best.
We're here with Mr. Patrick Underwood, the personal financial manager of NSA Bahrain, just talking about finances, you know, building that credit. It's a big thing because I'm actually very interested in this just because my credit journey has been an up and downhill. It's been bumpy, rough at times, but I'm slowly starting to pay off that debt as we go on.
Exactly.
The one thing I am concerned about, though, is I need to start saving now for my trip. Because my credit, if I keep paying off my credit the way it is, I'll have $0 in there by about next year in like January, February. And that's my goal, just so I can have no credit debt when I'm going to travel the world.
Right.
Just in case I do need to use the credit card when I'm out there or anything like that. I don't want it just to keep getting bigger and bigger. Yeah. But I think like the biggest thing for me is like when knowing how much should be paid at a time. Because obviously you have those minimums.
Right.
And then if you pay over the minimums, it still can affect your credit score. That's just because of how much you use it.
Yeah.
What's a good ideology, I guess you could say.
Yeah, so that's called that. So that's one of the big factors on what makes your credit score. That's called credit utilization. So basically, how much of that credit are you using at one time? So knowing that, that means that you are going to, if you carry that balance over, that's just telling everybody, the banks, your credit company, how much they can't give to you because you've already taken it. And so knowing that you're utilizing that, again, $6,500 is like what Americans keep. And knowing that means that, if you bought something on sale, it's not on sale anymore because you're paying the interest on that if you don't pay it off. And so an easy, I guess you could say the right way to do it, if there is one that keeps your credit utilization at zero, is to pay your balance off every month. So if you pay that off, that means that since you're not carrying anything over, then your credit score will naturally start to increase just simply because you're not utilizing it. So the kind of trick, if there is one, is that you kind of don't want to be above six, and you definitely don't want to be above 10. So 10% is like that cap. So basically that's saying that if your credit card is got a $1,000 limit, that you don't want to carry over any more than $100 every month. And so obviously you're just using percentages, right? Because more people are closer to having a $10,000 credit limit. If not on one card, it would be on total, like on multiple cards.
Yeah.
So you might have $2,500 on one, $25 on the other, and five, and then you've got that $10,000. Well, a credit report's going to look at that whole thing combined. And so you may have one totally maxed out and the other two paid off, but you're now sitting there utilizing 25% of your credit, and that's going to bring your credit score down. So you're going to think, oh man, but I got the other ones paid off, which is part of the journey, right? So you had talked about that. How do we take those steps going in the right direction? You start taking the steps in the right direction by not just making minimum payments, but paying more than you need to, so that they can see that you're being assertive in dealing with your debt.
Yeah. My biggest thing was always, you know, I always had the money to pay it off in time, and slowly but surely it would just diminish more and more and more. And it sucks, but at the same time, it's a learning lesson, I guess you could say, because I'm still young. And I didn't open a credit card until I was 20. So, you know, it has its ups and downs for sure. But in all, I would say I'm happy with my score right now, but I know it'll get better over the years.
Yeah.
And that's really just the end goal. I've already like developed a, I don't know, but in like the Navy Fed app, they have like ways you can develop like, I guess like a spending plan almost.
It's like your credit journey, right? And so since you're going to go on it, you can either wander aimlessly and just try to hope that it works out, or put some kind of plan together. And so as you look at the plan, it may be a little bit different now than what it's going to be in the long run, but you just got to put that plan together and start that journey.
AFM The Eagle. Don't like it? Try it with ketchup. Serving America's best.
We're here with Mr. Patrick Underwood, the personal financial manager of NSA Bahrain. Thank you so much today for coming in. You got any last remarks about credit?
Yeah, I think like what you had talked about right before we left was we've got classes that are out there. Obviously, you got your CFSs. They're going to be your frontline guys within the command. But as far as what we've got, maybe that'd be a little bit more open to other dependents and guys that can make it to the class. So we do have classes. The one, like I was just telling you about, that's going tomorrow too, is digital currency. But we've got a calendar, so you can check the Facebook page for that. And so that'll give you, you know, as we're moving out of August into September, we've got a whole bunch of stuff. Also in September, we're doing CFS training. So if there's commands that need a CFS or you're interested in that, then go to your leadership. And we do have some openings that are left there, a few more. And so, yeah, that's just a good opportunity to be a part of carrying that collateral. And like we've talked about it in the past, you know, we learn one plus one pretty early. But if we learn one minus one with a credit card, you know, interest rate thrown in there. We're going to learn that hard lesson pretty quick. And knowing how that works, that's why we just want to get that education out for sure.
Perfect. Thank you so much.